This morning's opening scripture that Tammy read reviewed the role of the husband to the wife, but really what we're talking about this morning is we're going to be talking about fathers, the role of the father, and I'm not talking just about a father, but about a spiritual father. A lot of us have fathers. My father never knew the Lord. This sermon would have meant nothing to him. Some of you might have parents that don't know the Lord. This sermon would mean nothing to them. But we who are here this morning allege that we know Christ as our Savior. Some of us have our children that are grown. What does the Bible say about that role? Some of you have raised your children, but you did not serve God in raising your children. Where does that put you in fatherhood today? Some of us have children and grandchildren. What is our role as elder fathers? What is our role as fathers? And what is our role as fathers to be? What is it that God expects of a father? I think that the Bible is very clear in dealing with this subject and doesn't really put a lot of icing on the cake. I think that if you'll listen carefully to what I'm going to say, you'll find that there's a lot of areas of work that need to be done in the lives of those who intend to be fathers, those who are fathers, and those who have been fathers for many years. So let's ask God to soften our heart. And remember this too, is that as I speak about fathers this morning, wives, look at your husbands as expecting fathers, as fathers-to-be in the future sometime. And also, ask God to give you a deeper understanding on the active role that you can play to help and encourage the role of fatherhood for your husbands. Let's pray again. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that the anointing of your Holy Spirit would be felt tugging at our hearts, that you would anoint, whether eloquently or craftily, Lord, the words that to be chosen by you and only you that come forth from these lips, and that you would anoint also the ears of your children to hear, Lord, that which you have for them, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, we're going to cover several different subjects in a very broad spectrum this morning. I could speak on this subject of fatherhood probably a series of maybe 6-7 meetings, but that's not my intent. I'm trying to concentrate this into a more condensed version. But some of the things we need to discuss are this. Number one, when are we done raising our children? Or as some grown children think, when are we done being their children and they cease being our parents? When does parental influence cease as a father? What is the best and worst ways to winning our children over to being obedient? What is the best and worst ways, or what is the impact, I should say? What is the impact that we have had on our children, or that we can yet still have upon our children? And can we remedy that which we have done wrong? Is there still yet time? And when does a father begin to just let his children make their own decisions and directions and no longer interfere? I think that the first thing we need to understand is that in order to approach the subject, we have to negate at all cost all philosophy and psychology and be solely and totally scripturally sound in this counsel. Because I'll be frank with you, the psychology of today, the psychiatry of today, the philosophy of today is in direct opposition to what the Word of God says. So I frankly don't have any appetite for what people feel like things should be. You know, this new approach to parenthood and what do they call them? FOMMIES? Is that, you hear that new term? FOMMIES? Those are father mommies. Those are fathers that have taken on the role of mommy. They're called FOMMIES now. Yeah. Or house moms, or stay-at-home dads, things like that. Frankly, there is nowhere in the Word of God that supports that, except for in the absence, and I mean through death or through a divorce, in the absence of a wife, a mother to those children. So we're going to stick to the Scriptures today. And we're going to talk about first, we're going to start off with the spiritual father and when he's done, or when is he done raising his children. But I want to first give you a group of scriptures for your consideration and your thought. And you don't need to turn to these, but listen carefully to them, because you have to understand not only what are we going to learn in what the Bible says, but what the Bible never readdresses, therefore what it said still stands. Do you understand that? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. I believe that this should always be, it must always be, the first and primary goal of every father. That we should be sure that we do everything we can possibly do to train up our children in the ways of the Lord. Now, unfortunately, when this scripture was written, something was not prevalent or present there as it is so much today, and that is blended families or families of divorce, because divorce was so minimal back in those days. Understand, when this scripture was made, it was talking about a father that has had the privilege of complete influence over his children. Complete influence over his children. Now, whether he takes that opportunity and uses that opportunity to influence his children is up to us to analyze in our own lives. Have we done that? Can we still yet do that? Should we do that? And should we also realize what we see now is as a result of what we have not done? But then there is also the fact that we have children that have not had that influence all the time of a parent, of a father role. And so they have had either the exclusiveness of a mother, which is, playing the role of mother and father, or a set of parents, which is not uncommon today, two moms, two dads, or unfortunately two dads, or two moms being sexually, I'll just leave it there. Anyway, so we do have a bit of a hodgepodge today in the realm of parenthood that needs to be addressed in the church. And that is that you cannot expect to raise up the child in the ways of the Lord and expect him not to depart from the Lord if he does not have or she does not have that option or that availability of parent influence of biblical sound doctrine in raising on a regular basis, but has been offered both parents who choose to follow the Lord and parents who've chosen not to follow the Lord. So there's a negative and a positive influence. Not to say that when children grow up, they also have a negative and positive influence in society. And today there are mixed messages all over the place. Our children have many options given to them. And most of those options exclude parents' influence. Most of those options include everybody's influence but parents. We have movie stars. We have rock stars. We have athletes that have become more influential to our children than our godly parents should be. And that's a shame and a sin and should be a spanking upon the hearts of every father in church today for allowing that to take place. No role model our fatherly role model should ever be anybody except for the father. But this message is exclusive to spiritual fatherhood only. I'm talking about those fathers who are here today and that hear this message by via the internet or by tape. Those fathers who have been born again, regardless of what your past has been, don't worry about that. We'll take care of that. But if you are born again, I don't care how old you are or how young you are. If you're going to become a parent or if you've been a parent for decades, it doesn't matter. The Bible speaks to you this morning. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 5, it says, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hath appeared unto them. And Joshua 4:6 says that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers to come saying, what mean ye these stones? And what do those two verses have in common? What they have in common is that your children must be able to look toward you or to you for godly counsel and godly wisdom. If you don't have a relationship with God, it is doubtful that they will seek spiritual direction from you. And so, what the Bible says here is that the children were able to look at their fathers for direction based on their experience, the father's experience with God, and how they followed God. Not only how they followed God, but they were able to share with them in wisdom those times and the cost of those times when they did not follow God. Another scripture that I'd like to share is in Luke 1:17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Listen to me, dads and dads-to-be. You have not been called to be your son's buddy. You haven't been called to be your son's best friend. But you can be his best friend if he looks at you as a true spiritual father. You can become the most important male role in this child's life. But if all you are is that child's playmate, that child's friend, that child's best friend, and he or she does not see God as a mighty force in your life, you have failed your child, and your child will run amok. Today, the popularity of fatherhood is rooted in what you give to your children and what you allow your children and what you turn your eyes away from just because they're children. And I can tell you clearly that's not a biblical role. In fact, in Ephesians 6:4 says, "And ye fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." Any criticism that we give to our children has got to be biblically based. Biblically based. Without or regardless of mother's interference. Do you understand that? Fathers have got to be able to say clearly, "No, mom, be silent. This is what the Word of God says. And you must be the ruling authority in that position." In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our own flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, and shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" In other words, children, at least in our age, some of us older folks, we grew up respecting fathers regardless of their spiritual heritage. We just basically respected all adults. And I will tell you frankly, that's gone. I see children as extremely disrespectful today. Not only to grown-ups in general, but I have seen them become disrespectful to their parents, not only in private, but in public. That is a reflection upon you, men, either not endorsing or not enforcing or not living out the role that needs to be done. Children must never be found disrespectful to parents, especially the father. He is the spiritual leader in the home. Again, prefaced by, if he is indeed born again. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, "Furthermore, we've had..." I'm sorry, I just read that. Let me take you through some points that I think are really important. And there, some of these are just basic, but they're skimmed over, they're passed over, they're not even given the proper focus or attention or the emphasis to any longer. I said earlier that we're going to talk about not only what does the Scripture say, but what the Scripture no longer addresses, which means now what the Scripture says still goes. The question is, when does a father, speaking of spiritual fathers, when does a father stop being a father to his children? And the answer, frankly, is never. Not only is a father a father for life, but he is also a father for life to his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren as long as he's alive. He is, in essence, the spiritual elder parent to his tribe. Abraham, as long as he was alive, was the patriarch. He was the leader of his family. He was involved in Abraham, he was involved in Isaac and Jacob's lives and the children and the grandchildren's lives until the Lord took him home. He wasn't a meddler, but he was the spiritual leader and he was an enforcer of spiritual values. Let's discuss what that means. Let's go into detail on that, because the first thing I want you to know is we're not talking about micromanaging our children or grandchildren when they get older, for us older dads. But what does it? Let's just discuss some of the means. Number one, this means that the father must always be cognizant of his children and his grandchildren's spiritual development. That is the number one priority of a father. So you dads and dads in waiting, and dads who have been for a long time, your number one priority still and should be and is to be the spiritual development of your children. Not what they're wearing. Not even who their friends are. That actually is the role of the mother under the direction of the father. You are the delegator. You are the overseer. You are the direct supreme authority in the home, second only to Christ. If you don't know the spiritual value, the spiritual level of development in your children and grandchildren, shame upon you. That means you're not doing your job. We need to meddle in that area. We need to make constant assessments in that area. When you're with your grandchildren or with your children, you older dads, you should be listening very carefully to what's being said. You should be watching very carefully to what's going on. And you should be assessing through prayer what's wrong and what's right. And you fathers and fathers-to-be, you need not look at it any lighter. You need to be on guard, because let me tell you something. If you don't do your job, your wives will do your job for you and they stink at it. Do you understand me? You don't like that, ladies, but frankly, I don't care. You stink at being fathers. That's why God made you to be mothers. And we stink at being mothers. That's why God didn't make us mothers. He made us fathers. Can you get that? Can you handle that? Fathers, you are the ruling authority in your home. Act like it. Earn it. Live it. Number two, this means that we've got to take on the role of carefully applying the God kind of love. And let me tell you, frankly, that's not warm and fuzzy. Being a father means applying tough love. God is not always easy on how he applies his love, but sometimes he's got to address some very delicate and some very difficult things. And let me share something with you, daddies. Don't put your wives, your children's mothers, in that awkward position to have to deal with that situation. Again, they're not qualified. You will allow them to become bruised. And you will also destroy the divine order that God has placed in your home. I know that carefully injecting correction and giving out spiritual discipline can sometimes be awkward, especially for an older father to a younger son or to a younger daughter. Because, you know, when our kids grow up, they don't think they need to listen to us anymore. Wrong. So wrong. Maybe they choose not to listen because they're full of themselves, or maybe they choose not to listen because we haven't guided them in those directions to respect us. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. But now let's discuss the points of what this doesn't mean as far as spiritual elder or elder fathers, spiritual fathers. It does not mean that fathers, especially grandfathers, begin to interfere with a child or a grandchild's daily lives. The last thing that our children need, Grandpa, is a micromanager over our children and our grandchildren. We don't need to be micromanagers. But what will happen is if we see our sons or our son-in-laws not doing the job, we have to be micromanagers then, because there is a sickness in the family. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's something seriously lacking. For parents that have come to Christ in the later years, you will find that this is a very awkward message for you, because there's a lot of reworking over of things, rethinking of things that need to be done, some corrections, some new approaches, some fresh approaches, even some apologies and some changes that need to take place in order to take on the role of being the elder or the father of spiritual significance in your children's lives or even your grandchildren's lives. I think that when it comes to micromanaging your children or grandchildren as they get older, remember your limitations. There are boundaries there, and those boundaries have to do with spiritual development only. The rest, it's up to them. You understand? It's up to them what they do. But daddies, with your children, you're responsible for all of it. You're responsible for every bit of it. That's the link, the difference between grandparenthood and parenthood. So, for example, to Jessica and Brian, I have direct obligations to the both of them to deal with things on a very critical and immediate basis. To my grandson, it has to do with the spiritual development, unless I see that the spiritual development is not being cared for by the parents. Do we understand? And so to dads, let's put it into the proper perspective for the younger dads. As a father, our primary goal is to be sure that we have our home in divine order. No 50-50, women. Take the seat that God has given you and be thankful for it. And take on the role that God has placed you for it. Quit wearing your husband's parents' pants, because it's doubtful he'll wear your dresses. Okay? And place a hedge around your wife and become the man that God has called you to become. And don't let your wife interfere. In spiritual literalists, say, butt out. This is not your territory. You say, well, those are harsh words. Yeah, it is, but you know what? If that's what needs to be done, then that's what needs to be done. Liberation theology is for the toilet. Get used to it. Sigmund Freud was not saved. Dr. Spock was not saved. Darwin was not saved. So don't come with your analytical approaches. They stink. And what was the lady's name? The woman's liber? What was her name? Anyone remember? I forget her name. She was not saved either, though. Okay. Elder spiritual fathers first. Let's deal with those. There's just 4 points I want to cover with you guys. He should only involve himself when he sees concern that is in contrast to God's principles being displayed or parental slack with his children. That's when a grandparent gets involved with the children, the grandchildren, okay? Number two, the oldest father should always be the strongest role model of what a Christian is expected to be. And boy, let me tell you, that convicts me too. I realize that there's still a lot of work in my own life that has to be done. But I have got to be able to assess my life and say that I still have got to take on the most significant spiritual impact role in my family. If I'm not impacting my family from the strongest point, then I become the weakest link to God. The spiritual elder father should be ready to serve, to sacrifice, and protect his wife and children, and if old enough, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, at all cost, even at your popularity, at the cost of your own popularity. My children know that very well. I frankly don't care about how popular I am when it comes to dealing with hard issues. I've even corrected and taken the side of their spouses over them at times. And they don't like it, but they know it's truthful. Because that's how you have to play the role if you're going to get God's blessings. If you want your children's marriages to succeed, then follow God's way in parenting even your older children. That sacrifice is awkward. It doesn't come with a whole lot of reciprocity, I'll tell you. But in the long run, you may not live long enough to see it, but your children will look back someday and say, you know what? Dad was right. Abraham served his family until the day he died. So did Joshua, so did Moses, so did David, so did Daniel. And the list goes on and on and on. Gentlemen, I don't care when you got saved. I don't care how many kids or grandchildren you have. Your job's not done. Do you understand? We have yet a still long journey ahead of us. Now let's talk about spiritual fathers or spiritual fathers-to-be. You know, it's said that a mother's work is never done. How many of you ever heard that? It's a lie. The only time a mother's work is never done is if your house is not in divine order. There is a time of rest for your wives, for the mothers of the children, of your children. And that comes to you taking an active role as the proper father in the home, alleviating that burden and letting her rest from that element of correction, that responsibility of having to do the tough love. The mothers are not called to do the tough love. They endure enough hardship watching you legislate tough love into the lives of the children. Another area we got to understand is that when there's no elder spiritual father present in your life, gentlemen, on either side of the family, then the father needs to seek out the counsel and wisdom of another spiritual elder father role in their lives. You know why? You can't go it alone. You can't. I said you can't. It doesn't happen. You're going to have to find. A lot of times that falls on the pastor's shoulders. But you need to have a spiritual elder father in your life. And if that role, if that person is no longer in your life, then you need to seek out somebody. An accountability father, if you will. Somebody that you can go to. Not only in a time of crisis, but in a time of needing for refreshing. For redirection. And for spiritual analysis on how you're doing. Kids don't like to sit down with your dad, especially fathers, sons of fathers. Don't like to sit down with their fathers and say, how do you think I'm doing, Dad? Because most of the time, Dad's going to tell them how he thinks you're doing. Well, if it's rooted in the Word of God, then put your britches up and get ready for it. Amen? Spiritual fathers have an awesome responsibility. The impress that we make in our children's lives, when you're a spiritual father to your children, you really, in the early stages, are a Superman. I mean, you are invincible, man. And then something happens. You become invisible instead of invincible. You no longer become important. And then something else happens as they get yet even older. You become unintelligent. You no longer make sense. They become superior. You become inferior. And hopefully, that course of time will correct itself and they will once again realize who they have in their midst before it's too late. If you need to go outside of your family for a spiritual elder father, gentlemen, be sure and be careful never to take that man's time for granted. He has taken on a role of responsibility that is a tremendous burden. So when you have to accept the wisdom and the direction of a spiritual elder father outside of your own family, value that time. Don't abuse it. Don't ignore it. And don't look upon it slothfully. It said the youth is wasted on the young. How many of you heard that? Huh? Boy, I've relived those words. How about you guys? You ever realize how much time we wasted when we were young? And how many things we just left sift through our hands? And we never really valued those times until we were too old. It was too late. Oh, but if we could turn back the hands of time, how many things would we change? You guys getting this? Learn by experience of others. Listen to what's being said. Remember this. Fathers and grandfathers are human. Not perfect, but human. Intentions, direction, efforts, all are things that we look towards to make a summation as to who is that person in my life? What direction are they going into? What is the value they've placed into my life? Your children will someday grow up. And what you sow into their lives at a young age will impact them through their parenthood and through their grandparenthood as well someday. And it'll be a wonderful epitaph for you to see your children raising their children and hearing them say, Poppy or Papa or Grandpa taught me this. Let me teach it to you. I want to talk about just a few critical points that need to be addressed with regard to our attitude toward our spiritual fathers, both young and old. This is inclusive of both sides here now. Number one, spiritual fathers should always be, and listen to me, because this is an area that is really, even in my own life, I deal with the frustration of this. Spiritual fathers, can I stop saying spiritual now and know that we're talking about spiritual fathers? Fathers should always be respected and treated with honor, both young and old, providing that that father is intentional and deliberate and always striving to do right. May not do it all the time, but his direction is right. His intent is right. That father should always be respected. A father should not be the brunt of a joke or disrespect ever. Ever. Now, I get that sometimes, and it ravels my it puts a spur under me a little bit. And the older I get, the more I realize how disrespectful it is. Because I really feel in my heart I've earned a little more respect than the value of a joke, the brunt of a joke. Whether you're amongst friends or relatives, your spiritual father should never be the brunt of a joke, nor should your spiritual mother. We'll talk about mothers next week. I believe that allowing a parent or a parent-to-be to be the brunt of a joke in the presence of a child is one of the most disrespectful things and dishonoring things you can do. And it has so much hurt that can be sowed into that child's life as far as poor direction. Elijah was the brunt of a joke because he was bald. And you know what he did? He summoned a she-bear out of the woods and had the bear murder the children that were mocking him. Yeah. In early biblical culture, if you insulted a parent, you were subject to death. Later, in biblical culture, you were subject to slayings or slashings, whippings, and sometimes even stoning, but only unto near death. A spiritual father should always be perceived as the one spiritual warrior of strength in the family. You need to be able to look at your dad. Your children need to look at you and say, there's the man that I know has my back. There's the man that I know will bring me up right and just. There's the man that knows God more than anybody else in my life. Wear that crown and wear it proudly, but earn it. It's not something that is gratis. Being a father is not always the most popular role, but it is almost always the most difficult of roles. That's why men are men, at least most. A father should always be celebrated. Not just merely tolerated, but celebrated. And he should not have to solicit that celebration. You see? See how we fail our parents? You dads, or you soon to be dads, you're going to know what it's like to be celebrated as a Superman and then get to that stage of invisibility and then all of a sudden that stage of nutso, what do you know? It hurts. I still grapple with being able to finish a sentence and know that somebody's listening. I start out talking to my kids, halfway through it, they're going on with somebody else, talking to somebody else. Like Tammy, I found it funny. But that's in history. I don't find it so funny anymore. Now I find it very insultive. I speak from experience, man. I tell you. I have failed in fatherhood in many ways, but I've studied it, and in the balances, I think I've been more successful than not in the areas of godhood in my children's lives. So I'm telling you from experience, and some of you did not raise your children in the ways of the Lord, and some of you have not had parents who have raised you in the ways of the Lord. But I will tell you, there is a dramatic difference between the two. You can be living a very morally sound and financially sound and academically sound home and absolutely have no God in it whatsoever. I know that as a father ages many times, he's perceived as a bit outdated, even in his driving habits. But just how old does God have to be before he no longer counts? You talk about a father that's pretty up there in years. And you know darn well you better be listening to him, amen? It seems a little bit self-serving to make this next statement, but I'm going to make it anyway and just... You'll have to understand I'm saying it for the benefits of all fathers and fathers-to-be. A spiritual father should be embraced and valued without having to solicit, but rather be able to experience the appreciation for the years that he has impacted the lives of his children or even his grandchildren. I think we also keep in mind all our spiritual fathers are still mortal. Remember that. You young dads who frustrate yourselves sometimes because you see the carnality of your older dads, your day will come and your children will see that in you too. Remember, he who be without sin, cast the first stone. I used to hear this frequently. Oh, Dad, I remember when. Well, I got that from my parents when I got saved. Oh, Jeffrey, I remember when you did this. But I finally came up with a solution when I said, yeah, but I used to wear diapers and poop in them. I don't do that anymore. I changed. My children remember my weak moments at the most opportune time for them and the most inopportune time for me. Their recall is just tremendous. And the problem, guys, is the older you get, you lose recall. I can't remember quick enough. I used to be so quick. I can't remember and recall quick enough to give it right back to them. So I found a solution. They shouldn't do it to me in the first place. So then I don't have to dig so hard to find something that isn't there anymore. Are you getting this? You understand? Whenever Jeff gets nervous, he starts giggling. Have you noticed that yet? It's going to get him fired one day, probably. Mike Allen's going to turn around and just fire him one day because he's going to just lose it and laugh at the most inopportune time. Remember the carnality, the humanity, the mortality of your fathers. Let us not be found sorry for what we should have done and did not do, and find it too late to do any more. Finally, let me rest with this. The love of a spiritual father will always be constant, but should not always have to be visibly transparent. Why? Because he's the Father that is bound to your future. And that future must always be in Christ, not your pleasures in life. My concern is not how fancy of a house my son gets, how much money he ever makes in life, or how well Jessica does in her finances, or how fancy her house is, or anything else. My grandchildren, my real main focus is that it may be well with their soul always. And that I will be able to face my Heavenly Father someday with no regrets and say, I may have failed, but I honestly did my best. Remember that your spiritual father is the one that is constantly studying, listening, and praying for you. And dads-to-be, you'll know what that means real quick. So fathers, both young and old, listen and take heed to the tremendous responsibility that God's bestowed upon us. For those who have yet to make the right what was wrong before your conversion, you get about your Heavenly Father's business now. You got a work to do. Those things you should have done in your younger years, but did not do, you might have even been saved, but you didn't do them. Or you weren't saved and you didn't even know to do them. Well, guess what? You got breath in your lungs? It's still time. God said to Joshua, who was 90 years old, there is still much land to possess. You still have a work to do. We still have corrective surgery to be done in the lives of our children and our grandchildren. We can correct the rights that we allowed to be wrong. Remember this. No matter how old we grow to be in this life, our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren are our direct ministry for life. And children, take time to make time for your fathers. They're here but for you and only a season. And how that season is in length of time, you don't know. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray, Father, that, Lord, even though these words were direct, they might have even been uncomfortable. I pray, Lord, for those of us who have had decades behind us of parenthood and have not done our jobs, Lord, or know those areas that we have not done our jobs well in, let us, Lord, have the courage and have the spiritual muscle, the bravery to go back and say, children, I was wrong. There's a better way. Let us also, Lord, who are to be fathers and who are young fathers, take on the tedious task and the heroic requirements that are needed to be a father in this day and age. Let us not let our wives and our mothers of our children rule or even feel equal to ruling over our children in our role and in our stead. As I said, Lord, let us remember that we have been designed to wear pants and not dresses, and they dresses and not pants. Don't let us fall into the trap, Lord, of this New Age philosophy that has crept into the church. But let us hold to the tenets of our faith and the values of biblical principles, and that alone should be, will be, and always will be sufficient until the last breath that we breathe. And I pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen.